What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. I also work on every Kings broadcast with the radio crew. Have a solid one for you today. Nice little Friday wrap-up here. There have been more firings across the league, some potential free agency news that could affect the Kings in the future, and a couple other notes to wrap up the week. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got some news for you today. Some free agency tidbits as well. So to kick it off, the Raptors have fired Dwayne Casey, head coach Dwayne Casey, 59-game winner Dwayne Casey. You know, I get it. I understand it. I kind of relate it to if we have NFL fans out there, Marty Schottenheimer, I'm pretty sure. When he was the Chargers head coach, they went 14-2, lost in the playoffs. It was just time to make a change. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right move or not, but to try it again for a fifth time with Dwayne Casey and the same group of players, I understand why they did it. I understand if they would have kept him, too. It's a tough decision to make. I remember when the Warriors got rid of Mark Jackson, it was... I would have understood if they kept him, and I understood why they got rid of him. It worked out for the best. We'll see what happens in Toronto, where they go. I like Dwayne Casey. I think he's a good coach. I like that he kind of changed his style this year to try and, adapt to today's NBA. It just did not work out, and it's a tough one. But in the end, it's a results-based business and playoff results, really, not regular season. So it's too bad. I don't think he'll be out of work for long. I do think he'll get another job. I want to throw to Sean Woodley. He's the host of Locked On Raptors. He had a little breakdown of the move and what the Raptors might do moving forward. Sean had a lot of things to say about this one. So this one's about 5 to 7 minutes long, a little longer than usual. But when he finishes up, I'll come back and give you the rest of my thoughts and how it might affect the Kings or not. So let's toss to Sean in Locked On Raptors.
Hey, how's it going? This is Sean Woodley, the host of Locked On Raptors, here to break down the breaking news that Dwayne Casey, the 7-year head coach of the Toronto Raptors, has been let go by the team. This coming, of course, after they were swept for the second straight season by LeBron James and the Cavs. And there is a lot to get into with this. It is a decision that is sort of surprising, but at the same time isn't. Of course, like, I don't think anyone could point to the series where the Raptors got swept by the Cavs and say that was all Dwayne Casey's fault. I think a lot of it is just LeBron is LeBron, and he is a powerful singular force who has owned not just the Raptors, but pretty much every other team in the Eastern Conference over the last decade. So I don't think it's a shocker that the Raptors were unable to sort of crack that nut. But I do sort of understand it from the perspective that, you know, he didn't have a great series. It was a tough time. He did not have a defensive game plan that was well-crafted to stopping LeBron. And I think that kind of speaks to the larger issue of Dwayne Casey, which has always kind of been the thing with him, is that he's not the best tactical coach in the world. He is a very good, maybe one of the very best in the league at being a big-picture relationships guy, and he did an excellent job of that. When he was hired by the Raptors were in the middle of nowhere, absolutely listless as a franchise, and I think the decision to hire him was built, you know, a lot around his ability to sort of connect with players and build a culture and form good habits, and he did that, and the Raptors have, you know, been the most successful they've ever been under Dwayne Casey. 5 years in a row in the playoffs, 50 wins, 3 seasons straight, 59 wins, of course, this season after completely changing over the offense. And, you know, it's really sad to see Dwayne Casey go. He's a fantastic guy. He is really easy to deal with the media, and he did a really great job shepherding this team along from a point that, you know, they really weren't supposed to become this good. You know, they were supposed to blow it up in 2013-14. They traded Rudy Gay. Kyle Lowry was almost out the door. And then, you know, after some friction, him and Casey, Lowry and Casey kind of figured things out. really sort of established a good bond. And, you know, you see where the Raptors are now. People clown them for losing to the Cavs, but no other team has gotten to play the Cavs in the playoffs 3 years in a row in the second or third round. And I think it speaks very highly that the Raptors are the team that keeps getting beaten by LeBron, as weird as that sounds. You know, they've gotten further than most teams in the East. They have won more playoff series than any team in the league aside from the Cavs and Warriors over the last three seasons. So I think it's, you know, you can clown them all you want, but in the grand scheme of things, the Raptors have become one of the more successful, stable model franchises in the NBA, and a lot of that has to do with Dwayne Casey. So moving on from him does seem like a bit of a strange pivot. At the same time, I do think there is some reason to it. And I think, you know, part of the reason that, you know, I think the reflection of Dwayne Casey is that he's been so successful at building the culture and building the team from, you know, the ground up and sort of getting this big picture thing just sort of hammered down to its science. Like, the Raptors are just a really well-run team in the regular season. They win a lot of games for a reason. He's very strict with rotations. He gets guys in roles. They know their roles and they perform them every night. And I think that is honestly sort of the reason that maybe a change is needed, in that the Raptors have grown under Dwayne Casey to a point where they're no longer in need of a big picture coach anymore. They're in need of someone who's more of a tactical wizard, who can kind of look at a series and not take a game or two to adjust, who can kind of, you know, change things up and throw different looks out there that, you know, maybe Dwayne Casey's been a little bit slow to get to in the past. So, you know, I think the next coach is going to be someone who's more of a tactical genius. You know, Jerry Stackhouse is a guy whose name has been thrown out there. I kind of throw Stackhouse, just from what I've seen from him at the G League team so far with the Raptors, he's made the finals 2 years in a row, but I'm not sure he's got sort of the tactical acumen that you would want in who's going to be the next head coach. You know, I think he's probably a guy, considering the job he's done as a development coach with the young guys at the G League, you'd probably want for a younger team. And if the Raptors are going to blow it all up and trade away Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Serge Ibaka, Jonas Valanciunas, then maybe Stackhouse is the guy. But I do think Casey getting fired kind of gives me the sense, at least, and this could change, of course, but I do get the sense that, you know, DeRozan, Lowry, you know, whoever else is going to be back next season for one last kick with a new coach. Hopefully a new message comes across. It's a way to sell it to the fan base that you're bringing back the same team that just got swept 2 years in a row, but it's going to have a different coach at the helm. And I do think that coach is going to be more of a tactical guy who is more sort of, you know, lauded for his in-game expertise as opposed to more of a big picture thing. Because I think the Raptors at this point probably believe that their franchise is stable enough and, you know, has come far enough and is strong enough, you know, as a culture and just sort of as an organization as a whole, that they can withstand not having a guy like Dwayne Casey to be the head coach who is so good at the big picture stuff. So, guys, I'm thinking about Nick Nurse is the lead assistant for the Raptors right now. He was sort of the architect of the offensive change the Raptors did this season, and, you know, it worked really well. And his playbook is deep, it's advanced, and he has been on the sort of short list of coaching candidates for a little while. He's interviewed for a couple jobs here and there, so I'd expect him to get a long look. And then also the report coming out from Mark Stein and others is that Mike Budenholzer is also someone that's high on Masai Ujiri's list. People joke about Mike Budenholzer and sort of what happened with the Hawks this season. I think it would make some sense. As long as he's not getting any sort of, you know, general managership of the team, I think that's probably what they would want to steer away from. If he's looking for complete power like he wanted in Atlanta, maybe that'll be a difficult sell for him, and I think that would be a difficult sell for the Raptors as well on their end. But, you know, a guy like Budenholzer who, you know, while the Hawks were sort of known as this egalitarian, fun-loving team back in 2015 when they won 60 games, they were the second-best defense in the league. And maybe you can sort of count on Budenholzer to craft a better scheme to maybe go up against LeBron James. Here's the thing. No Raptors coach is changing the Raptors' forces against LeBron James unless LeBron James becomes a worse player, which doesn't seem to be on the horizon anytime soon. This, I think, is very much a PR move to try to sell to the fans that the team coming back is going to have at least a bit of a different voice and maybe sell it as some sort of way to get around LeBron. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think any new coach is scheming around LeBron James, but I do kind of understand the pivot here to maybe go from a bigger picture guy to a more tactical guy. I really do think that's what it comes down to. Dwayne Casey was a fantastic coach. He's going to be missed by a lot of people in Toronto, and, you know, it's a big risk. There's a good chance that the next coach is not as good a coach as Dwayne Casey, and I think Casey should be scooped up by some other team almost immediately. I would bet like Orlando with Jeff Weltman, who was the Raptors GM last season. Maybe that's a candidate there. And, you know, he's going to be picked up soon because he's an excellent coach. And any team that is in sort of disarray and needs to establish a culture should be calling up Dwayne Casey right this minute to get an interview set up. That's all I got on this for now. Check out Locked On Raptors. I'll have a full episode about all of this. We'll get into all the different angles of sort of the optics of the Dwayne Casey firing and sort of where to go from here, what kind of candidate the Raptors should be looking for, and maybe throw some names out there and maybe, you know, sort of hypothesize what else we're going to see from this offseason, which apparently is going to feature lots of change for the Raptors, a team that has not changed a whole lot in a bunch of years. So interesting times ahead for the Raptors. You can hear it all on Locked On Raptors with myself, Sean Woodley, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Sean, for that. As he said, there's going to be a lot of change moving forward for the Raptors, and a team that hasn't had a lot of change recently. A team that's run it back every year and given it a shot, but has not worked out, as we've said. It's a tough one for these guys. We'll see what happens with them moving forward. Budenholzer, as you all know, I'm a fan of his. Interested to see if that's their main target and if they're able to get him. But who knows? We will see what happens with these guys. And I'm interested. I'm interested to see what happens with their star players and some of their lesser players like Fred VanVleet. What will they do with him? So I'm intrigued. This is Locked On Kings. So I'm going to talk about the Kings for a little bit. one of the things about this move is, look, Jaeger's not going anywhere, I don't think, this year. I think you all kind of know where I stand. I'm a little indifferent with him, but, if I'm forced to make a prediction, I think they're looking for a new coach at this time next year. But we'll see. So would Dwayne Casey be a good fit? I'm torn because I do appreciate that he changed his style and the way he goes about coaching and his game planning, etc., to kind of try and adapt to today's NBA. But I don't know if that's really him. Like, if you bring him in, would he go back to kind of his old school ISO type stuff? So, would I think he's an immediate upgrade over Jaeger? Maybe, but not enough to make a drastic change like this right now. So, that's the King spin on it. That's where I'm at. A little free agency news coming up next. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, everyone. Welcome back into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. A little free agency news. It's kind of news. I think it's worth mentioning because I think we know where the Kings stand and where Vivek stands as a fan of Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors. There's a report out today that Klay and the Warriors have started preliminary talks on a contract extension that would be team-friendly for the most part. He would not be getting all the money that he could get on the free agent market or that he could get from the Warriors. And nothing has happened yet. It's all speculation. They're talking, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. But apparently he's looking at taking a deal that would pay him, I think, an average of $23 million, which, hey, not bad, not bad at all. But for a guy who could get the max on the open market, which I think is $139 for 4 years, I believe. And then if you add in his last year with the Warriors, which it would be 1 year for $18, would get him up to like $156 over 5 years. And if he signs with the Warriors, it would be $5 for $121, I believe. So he would be leaving some money on the table for sure. But at the same time, it's not as if he's playing for minimum wage or $150 million. He's going to be all right either way. But he is willing to, per the report of The Athletic and Marcus Thompson, who do a great job, that per the report, he's willing to, you know, take a haircut to stay in the Bay Area, a place he loves, a team he loves, a coach he loves playing for. Definitely prioritizing those things over getting every last penny that he can. And it's just one of the things about the Warriors that is impressive. It's hard to not be impressed or understand or praise or whatever. Because I talked about it the other day on the Grant Napier show with Doug Christie. I was filling in and I said one of the things about LeBron James, and he's entitled to every single penny he can get. He's entitled to all of this. But he looks at everything today. What
is going to help us win today. He doesn't care about the future. We'll deal with the future when we get there. So he takes the max payment. He gets guys like Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith paid, which, you know, good on him, good on them, whatever. But now they're in a bind with those contracts. Now they're missing draft picks because, you know, he wanted to trade the first rounder for, you know, some vet who is washed in a year, you know, like Channing Frye. So it's just an impressive thing that the Warriors do. And again, with the Cavs, I do want to give them credit because I think this second time around, they've done a good job keeping their assets as far as draft picks and the trades they made recently. At least they have some young players, because what LeBron did in Miami and that the first run in Cleveland is he left the cupboards bare when he left, man. There was nothing there. So at the very least, if he leaves Cleveland this time, they'll have something to work with. So I give them credit for that. But back to the Warriors and Klay Thompson and how it might affect the Kings. So if this does happen, which I expect to happen, if not the deal that they're talking about right now, that eventually he's going to re-sign with the Warriors. It's where he wants to be. And by the way, he's already a legend in the Bay Area. He is getting, you know, free beers, free meals, rest of your life, basically, at this point. And he, even though Kevin Durant is, you know, the second all-star that they brought in, and don't get me wrong, people love Kevin Durant, it's still Steph, Clay, and Draymond hold a very special place in the hearts of Bay Area fans, and as they should. You know, they were the guys who really turned the thing around, and don't get me wrong, KD's in that mix too, but if Clay leaves to go be the quote-unquote guy out on another team, or even maybe the number two guy somewhere, like Philly, I believe, is very interested. He won't be the, you know, legend, whatever, the beloved figure that he is in the Bay Area somewhere else. So, you know, I don't know if that plays into his thought process at all, but I do expect the deal to happen. And what I want to relate to it with the Kings is the Kings, as we know, Vivek loves his ex-Warriors. He was a minority owner with them. He tried to get Andre Iguodala there. Did not work out. And I, like I said, I do expect Clay to re-sign with the Warriors, but let's say something goes wrong. Let's say the Warriors try and really lowball him, something like that. You know, Vivek would jump in immediately, throw that max at Clay, and he tried to do it with Andre, not the max, but definitely a nice salary. Tried to convince him that, hey, you can still live in the Bay Area. You can helicopter out here every day. That was one of his pitches, which is crazy. I mean, I think Kobe used to do that. That's wild. I heard there's a rumor like it would only take 20 minutes to get a helicopter from the Bay to Sac, which is crazy. I got to get myself one of those helicopters, man. Any helicopter sponsors out there, holler at me. We're looking to bring on new sponsors. But it's too bad because he would have a crazy market out there, and he's just basically taking himself off it because he wants to stay in the Bay. But if not, if something goes wrong, Vivek's going to be one of the first ones knocking on his door saying, hey, we got you up here in Sac. So that's the most recent NBA news, free agency news, if you even want to call it that, because Clay's not a free agent for another year, and he hasn't re-signed with the Warriors yet. So it's all rumors, but just as we all know, Vivek would immediately go after Clay if he ever became available, and it's questionable whether he ever will become available. So there's that, and also think about it. I mean, let's just do the fantasy GM stuff that I do all the time on here because, let's just be honest, it's fun. Clay and Bogey. Like, that would be sick. Clay and De'Aaron Fox. That would be pretty fun. So we'll see. And, yeah, I just had to throw my fantasy GM stuff in there. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Come on back. We're going to preview these Eastern and Western Conference Finals coming up a little bit. And then we're going to wrap it up for the week. So come on back. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. It has been, 2 days without any NBA basketball, and I'm losing my freaking mind. The playoffs are such a tease, man. You go from the high of four, you know, first round playoff games a night, and then the second round comes and it slows down a little bit. You might get one or two at least. Some nights you get three. Oh man, it's good. And then all of a sudden you get 4 days without a single game. and now there's going to be 3 or 4 days in between games. I need my – y'all got any more of that NBA basketball, you know, what is it, Tyrone Bigum's gift? Chappelle Show, huh? Shout out. So just waiting for it. I think Sunday is the start with the Eastern Conference. Western Conference starts on Monday. Excited for both. As I mentioned, these are the series that we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the year. A little less exciting, at least on the Eastern side, because no Kyrie, no Gordon. And Kyrie and LeBron would definitely have the drama that we're looking for, but we're not going to get it, which, whatever, too bad. Western Conference, we're getting exactly what we figured we were going to get and exactly what we want. So I can't wait, man. Going to be a shootout. Going to be fun. So that's it for the week, you guys. I hope you enjoyed this little rundown of coaches getting fired and players opting in and, you know, De'Aaron Fox being on ESPN and all that good stuff. I believe starting next week, we're going down to 3 shows a week, so it won't be every day, but we will have good stuff for you, I believe, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every week moving forward with the draft coming up and free agency. That's when it really gets good. I'm a draft head. I love the draft. I can't wait. Cannot wait. This has been Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Come on back on Monday. I believe you'll have Matt George with you. And then I'll be back the next week. So thanks again for joining me. And y'all have a fun and safe weekend out there. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.